biggest surprise is Liam Payne didn't return. I was kind of fully expecting that to,
I'm just
in One Direction.
Right, shout out to Liam Payne. Shout out to Liam Payne and his music, and I tell you what, he's got a voice of an angel, but I tell you, he can't drive.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another edition of the Alternative F1 podcast with my fellow gang members, Matt and Sam. How are you guys? You good?
We're gangster.
That's good, man. How are you? Gangster.
We're surviving. We'll get into that, definitely. But before we get started on our regular show and our chat, our catch up in the world of F1 and our lives in general, we've heard some bad news this morning.
Unfortunately, F1, and to be fair, all around motorsport legend, Sir Stirling Moss, has passed away this morning. It's not corona related. He's been struggling with illness for quite a while, but like, this guy's an absolute legend. If you think about F1 and how F1 is to where it is today, you have legends like Juan Manuel Fangio, Jackie Stewart, and Sir Stirling Moss is up there, hence why he's Sir. He was knighted by the Queen, I think it was 2000. But this guy raced, I think he was 66 races. He got 16 wins, and he's often been called the best racing driver never to win a championship. Like, he was runner-up 4 times, and once he actually relinquished his championship because his teammate was penalised for reversing on the track, but actually Sir Stirling Moss stood up and was like, nah, that's bullshit. So he gave up the championship. So his legend is absolute legend. And he raced up until the age of 81. So,
81.
He's a racing car. 81 was his last race.
You know what? I would take the knighthood over winning anything significant in my life. Why not? Roll up into McDonald's. Roll up into McDonald's. Yeah, I want a $20. Is that, are you going to pay? No, I'm a knight.
That's amazing. Well, salute to him and rest in peace. And thoughts goes out to his family and friends. And obviously the world of F1 will keep on celebrating your name and your honour.
We'll miss him.
Now we will go on to our normal non-race quarantine check on ourselves.
Coronavirus chronicles.
Beard is growing strong. I think I'm not going to cut my beard until we actually get a race. But so how are you guys? What have you guys been up to this week? How have you been coping inside?
I've been. Coping inside is a big word. I think surviving is more apt, if I'm honest. I've been binging so much stuff. I've been binging everything. I had on Friday, I had a Zoom day drinking session with my friends to celebrate Easter in a way that feels natural, which is drink at a pub. But I turned my garden into the garden.
Did you put a pub background in?
Oh yeah, I had a full pub. I even had a brand. It said it was called the Guard Inn, because
it's very good pun. That's very good.
Thanks, Seth. Thank you. You can tell I'm the creative one out of the bunch. This afternoon I'm moving into a different world. I'm going to be baking a cake. So Paul Hollywood, watch out, bro. I'm coming.
What's the dish? What are we going for?
Yeah.
So I'm going for a lemon drizzle cake, but unfortunately, I can't get ice and sugar, so it's definitely going to be a lemon drizzle loaf with no icing. But,
sugar and water, mate. It's sugar and water.
we want a picture for next week of the how it turns out, and on this picture, mate, none help from any family members or girlfriends or anything.
Done, mate. Done. It's going to be my background. My lemon drizzle will be my background next week.
Quality. And Matt, what about you yourself?
Yeah,
I'm planning. I've already got my baking planned out for the week, because here's the thing, it's funny, each day feels the same. It's like it's the never-ending week. So all I know is between now and 2 or 3 sundowns, because I don't know what day it is anymore, that I'm going to be making homemade sausage rolls. That's what we're going to be playing at. I mean, it's funny. It's like, I don't really put too much effort into cooking and all that good stuff. But all I've been literally doing is chatting to you guys, watching whatever I can on Netflix, and just playing a crap load of Call of Duty. That's literally all I have to my name. Bit of Warzone. That's it.
Well, my week has been the same as every salute to all the parents who've been running after their kids each week, and you forget what day it is, because every day Every day is the same. Respect to Greg. Shout out to Greg.
We do wish
we could actually go in there. There's a treat to go to Tesco's every day.
Mate, honestly,
it's hard out there. So all right, so I'm moving on to races that again are obviously postponed. We've got the Canadian GP.
The Corona GP.
I almost did that. I almost said that's what they're going to call the first race. Sorry. You know, all of the PC police, like we're joking. You know, obviously it's
alternative. We could do what we want.
Exactly. We're getting
gangsters.
You know, when we first started the actual show, we was like very much like, "Oh, hi guys, we're going to say the right thing." I think gradually, every week that we're stuck in the house, we're just like, "I don't care what you think." Right?
we're going nuts, man.
So the Canadian GP is postponed.
Sam was meant to be there.
Yeah, I was meant to be there this year, guys. I had got it all organized. I was going to go. So I got family that live literally 5 minutes away from the track. I was going to go have 2 weeks in Canada, just chill out, you know, drop off to the race for the weekend before I fly home. It's going to be amazing. And now, yeah, cheers guys. How I can't even fly to Canada.
Did you get to book anything, or was it one of those things where you were going to book it, but then you thought, actually, I can't do that now?
So I had my flights, basically my flight time saved tonight. No. And I was waiting for payday, and luckily, luckily or unluckily, when payday came, that's when the news of coronavirus lockdown in kind of like Spain and Italy started to hit, and I was like, should I be smart and wait? And thank God I was, if I'm honest. Thank God. I mean,
wow.
I haven't seen my family for since Christmas, so it was going to be a really nice, like, me and my uncle and my like step the nephew go, so it would have been a nice little weekend away, but unfortunately, wow. Yeah.
I mean, last year's Canadian Grand Prix was I was sadly not to rub it in, but I was there last year, but it was unbelievable. Sorry, it was unbelievably like hot, and that was my first ever experience of being in Canada out in Montreal. Mm. And they were everyone was so confused. Even the Canadians were confused because it was so hot. It was just around, like, everywhere around us in the circuit, it was so dusty. And actually, you know, there were some drivers saying how, you know, it was quite a dusty track at some points. I just can't believe it. But Canada knows how to throw a Grand Prix. And of course, that was when the Seb Lewis controversy happened. And I was so conflicted.
I rewatched that yesterday. So for those of you who don't know, it was that Seb's first Grand Prix of the season that he was going to win. Obviously, bless him. I still think he's a good driver, but he's had a bit of a poor run. And last year he was dominating that race, man. He was dominating the race the entire way, and basically he lit up his rear tires when he was following someone and lost the back end and went onto the grass. And then Lewis was literally, I think it was like 2 seconds behind him. So when Lewis came around the corner as Seb rejoined the track, he had to slam his brakes on. And then Seb got a 5 second time penalty and he lost the race.
I still don't think there was much that he could have done, just as we're revisiting that.
After rewatching it yesterday, I agree in the fact that he had to rejoin the track from that position. But as someone that's a four-time world champion, you should realize that, like, because he gets timing updates in his ear all the time. Lewis is the gap is 2 seconds, the gap is 2.1, the gap is 2.3, right? He should know that Lewis is coming around that corner at like 90 to 100 miles an hour, 2 seconds behind him. So 2 seconds over that distance is literally like 150 meters or whatever. So he should have known that Lewis was going to be right on his tail. And actually, I think Seb had a panic that he was going to lose the lead. So he's put his foot down to get back on the track. Yeah. He didn't think about the fact that Lewis was going to be so close behind. So if Lewis hadn't have been there, it would have been an absolutely perfectly fine rejoining of the track. But it's because Lewis was right there. And it's the same as like taking a normal driving test, right? You know, when you take your driving test and they say, if you impact someone else's driving, shout out to my instructor for failing me on my third driving test for doing exactly this. Mate, I passed on the fourth attempt, all right, and I'm a great driver. So the best, you know, I was too fast a couple of times. But like, if you impede someone's driving, you get a fail on your driving test, right? So what's the difference between F1 and normal driving?
he's going significantly faster. So he is difficult for him to. I just feel that in that race, I feel that there wasn't much he could, to me, there's not much he could have done at that time. I think that race was taken away from him unjustly. And then also, if I'm just being honest, like if I was in Lewis's shoes, then I wouldn't have got out of the car and just been celebrating the way that he celebrated. Like I think that kind of, that's just my take. At that point,
you won the race, man.
Like, I think maybe it's media trading that's coming to my head then. But I'd have probably like,
it was like a pack of wolves. It was like a pack of wolves being there, because we were by the podium when it happened, and that weekend I was working at Sherwin Motorsports, so obviously we wanted anyone Ferrari to get a win, and so we were obviously very happy that Seb was leading most of that race. And obviously, I don't know, the Filipino side came out of me, like the British side just disappeared. And we were just like, boo!
Oh, you're doing?
Yeah.
So Lewis is talking to you.
So I'm not even British anymore.
Because he got really upset, I remember at the time, it was like, because Martin Brundle was interviewing him. Mm. And then he was like, I don't know what people are booing me for, because first of all, and I was just thinking, dude, like you sometimes don't make things easier for yourself.
No, however, you don't.
I understand the whole situation. So fingers crossed. Actually, what I do remember from that one, just lastly, was the epic moment of Seb thinking, I'm not going to park in second, one. And then two, I'm moving those sides. That was just great TV. I think that's probably one of my...
The childish, that's the only time that Seb Vettel was being a childish brat, where he thought, and I, you know what that is? I saw that and I smiled. I've never been the most biggest Seb Vettel fan, but when he did that, I just thought, that's a bit of me that I would do the exact same thing. I'm taking that first place side and I'm putting that second place side in front of Lewis's car. And what,
mate, while I agree with the decision, I probably definitely would have done that though. Or in fact, I probably wouldn't have been that mature about it. I would have just pushed his sign over and been like,
would you have just parked in first place?
probably.
I'd take that heartbreak over the whole, you know, just for that moment.
I keep going on. But because it's such an epic race, and great entertainment. But I remember that moment was, I feel, the bit where Seb started to come back within himself, because I think he was very much like miserable, down on himself, and I think at that point, because it was taken away, it ignited something in him, and for the rest of this season he became the Seb that we know and love.
I still think he's a great driver. He's got four world championships,
yeah,
end of discussion. Nice. You know what I mean? But actually, thinking about that, the Canadian Grand Prix was so good because of those fans. And like that moment on the podium, like all the fans going wild, and Matt booing. Like
Matt, I can hear him more than anyone else now.
Off with his head. Yeah, you should have seen me how happy I was at Silverstone when Lewis won. I was like, well done, Lewis.
Hello, betrayer.
Such a hypocrite, man. Such a hypocrite. But actually, talking about those races, like Silverstone and Canada and the Orange Army behind me. Those races are better because of the fans, but Ross Brawn has said that the start of the season could be without fans and behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So what do you, like, you guys have been to more races than I have, but like, how do you feel about going to or watching a Formula One race? Like, imagine watching Silverstone without going, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I watched that vodcast that Sky Sports did with Ross around that. And, you know, I was doing research, because I was thinking, how are all these F1 channels filling content when there's no races on? I was like, right, let's see what everyone else is doing. And it was quite interesting because, you know, F1, no sport is a sport without fans. It's so different. It's so, so different to see that. And it's been really weird seeing, you know, events that try to couldn't have smaller audiences, smaller crowds. We had 2 weeks ago WrestleMania without an audience. And whether you are a fan of those kind of big scale events, it is very strange to see anything that is of any magnitude without fans. I think F1 can just about get by, and definitely can because the viewing experience isn't lost by when I think this is something we might have touched on when we were talking with Tomo last week, was you're not going to lose too much with watching that sport, because you're still going to get the commentary, you're still going to get the sound of the engines. You barely hear the crowd anyways throughout the most of the race. Mm-hmm. So I'm not against it. I think it's the logical thing to do, and I think it's harder. And I think Andre, you know, I think between different sports that you can say that it would work and wouldn't work. I mean, for example, you're a Liverpool fan. Liverpool are games away from winning the league, and
no matter what you lot do, we're still going to win the league, and we've won it. Exactly. You might as well just give us the trophy anyway. I just think that before we get too much hate mail for Liverpool fans, I don't think it would actually affect, it doesn't affect the race in any form of way. I think that people, I think if anything, it's the probably the one sport that you can actually, you know, it's got enough money in it for them to be able to charter planes over with the teams. So the teams are kept separate the whole time. Obviously, they're not going to be mingling. I think there's obviously with the winner, obviously you're not going to do the podium the way it is where everyone's crammed together. I think they'd have to do that straight off the track, or if not on the track. With just the winners standing together, or however they do it. But you won't be able to have all the teams like doing the whole traditional celebration and all that stuff. So I think that there's small little changes, but I don't think it's the crowd. Like as Verstappen said one time, you know, he couldn't even hear. They asked him, "Could you hear the Orange Army?" And he says, "No, I don't even hear them." So it's like it actually doesn't affect.
Yeah.
From our point of view, I think that we would love to be able to be.
Yeah,
Silverstone and other places. So, I don't know. I don't know what your take is, but some racing is better than nothing at all. You know,
I feel like we're gonna have to get used to very. I mean, let's be honest. The 2020 season is gonna be a weird one, right? Because we're gonna have phased returns. So, you know, even on a race weekend, you know how like tight those pit garages are with all the mechanics next to each other. There's always a celeb in there. Like, I mean, one of the most iconic I remember is Nicole Scherzinger in Lewis Hamilton's McLaren pit, right? So there's always celebs in there. Matthew McConaughey always goes to Cota and always goes to Lewis. But like, you're going to have to phase that out. And the grid walk, I doubt Martin Brundle's grid walk is going to happen for the first couple of races of the season. Let's be honest. Is the commentary box going to be there? Like, the camera crews, so, you know, they're going to have a limited number of camera crews. So I feel like as fans, let's get ready for some racing. Let's get ready for some weird, ghostly, like eerie weekends where we may lose a camera angle or two. The pit lane may not be as buzzing and as high as possible. But at the end of the day, it's going to be racing, right? And
that's they can have the pit walk without obviously Martin coming into people's faces, because teams are not going to have that. I think that whilst people are in the cars and there's a safe distance between
one
cameraman or two, one at each end. They're not going to have like him coming up to people with his mic and all that shit. That's not going to happen. But I think that, you know, you'll be able to see them filming, you know, the guys in the cars and stuff like that, because obviously there's going to be a safe distance between them. So I think we're not missing out on that much, but obviously we do, you know, for the sake of the actual sport, I think that if everyone kind of like fans wise, just kind of take our, like there are people that love watching it live. It's nothing better for them to be able to plan. They go to all the races and all those things, and that's all well and good. But the greater good of us getting some racing in is better than, because otherwise we're going to lose teams, you know, basically. Yeah.
And actually, to be fair, Nico Rosberg said a fair point. I mean, he's a former world champion, so he knows what he's talking about. And he was saying about doing double headers and racing in different directions. So like
explain to me how that would work, because obviously we had a conversation before we start recording, and I'm just as perplexed as I now as I was then. So how would that actually work?
E-racing's taking.
So basically, what happens is you race. It's very simple, Dre. You race that way, then you turn it around and race that way.
Yeah, but what about the actual? Well, what about the markings of the track?
Oh, yeah, the markings, like in a matter of speed, you'd use the markings just the other way around, and then you just put a new finish line. But actually, in reality, you could probably paint new lines ahead of the weekend, and you'd probably paint them a different color. So you'd have white and yellow, and then yellow is one direction, white is the other direction, right? You'd have two finish lines again, probably yellow and black, and white and black, or whatever. But like, let's be honest, racing tracks in the different direction. There's a couple of tracks that's going to work on really well, right? So we talked about Canada. That's a track I feel like is going to lose a little bit racing in the other direction, because that final corner, there's the wall of champions, right? Where we've seen so many incredible accidents, so many cars clip that curb. Like, that is obviously lost, because for those that don't know the wall of champions, it's a very tight right-hand, then left-hand chicane onto the pit straight. But if you overcook the right hand when you try to correct to go left, if you get a bit of oversteer, you clip your back wheel. And it's called the wall of champions because pretty much every world champion has hit that wall at some point. So the apex on that corner is literally like this far apart from the wall, so it's like hell. But like, if you go the other direction, that wall of champions is going to be the first corner, and it's a right hander, not a left hander, so you're not actually going to hit the wall. So that's, for me, that's one of the tracks I think is going to lose something. But then thinking about it,
it's ironic because Magnussen in the last race that crashed there as well. Am I imagining that?
Yeah, no, Magnussen did. He, like,
what a champ. Is...
the champ. Hey, listen, he's all right. You know, he's all right. He got second in his first ever race in Australia.
There we go. Button can do it.
Right, exactly. He can come back. But no, I feel like that's good. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was playing like Gran Turismo and when I played Forza and all that kind of stuff when I was a kid, turn those tracks around. Anyway, you could choose. It's the same as when you play FIFA, right? And you can choose which path you start on. With racing games, you can choose which way you race the track. So I'm used to it, and I think it's wicked. Anything to get two races in a weekend, that's what Formula One fan is going to complain at that.
I mean, certified by Sam, I like it.
I like that.
Certified by Sam. That's a new thing on the podcast. That's it.
We should start an e-racing. We need to like launch our own Twitch, get a channel going, get Sam to be our racer. Yeah. Whenever they do like an e-race, Sam's really won it. Like, he's going to beat all the pros at it. So come on, marketing.
I can tell you now, while I would love to tell you I have an incredible talent at e-racing, I can tell you I do not, and I'm terrible. So I can commentate, and I can comment live and be like, "Oh, this is a really great chicane," but I can't do it myself. So, you know, there we go. But no, I think there's going to be some tracks that really, really win out. Like, if you imagine, I think Silverstone's the perfect example, because Silverstone is a full race weekend. Most people that go buy a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday pass. So you're going to give, you know, they always watch the touring car stuff. They always watch the Clio races in the middle of the, in between the races. So, and that is a perfect weekend where if you add another race, fans are going to go wild for it. And tracks, we've already talked about tracks, like in last week's episode, when we talked about tracks that have multiple different layouts that you can rejig around, it's going to be great. But, you know, there's going to be some, I mean, Monaco would probably be a bit weird, because going up the hill and round through the bridge,
that wouldn't work. That one,
the Nouvelle chicane would be a bit weird.
So they're suggesting Silverstone.
What about Spa? Can you imagine doing Spa or Rouge and smashing down that?
Oh, Rouge going downhill. Jesus.
Oh my goodness, it's so scary. That's so.
You hit like 212.
You know, like historically, it's been bad enough upwards, but downwards. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Rouge will be flat out at that point, and Christ alive, you'd have to have some balls to go down that. It's like the corkscrew at whatchamacallit, the track in is it Laguna Seca with the corkscrew, when they go downhill at that at like 110 miles an hour, and they literally go straight. Oh, it's mad.
I think on this, like with the, why it's important to be able to race, because obviously you've got to look at Formula One as an entity. You know, obviously we all like different sports as well. And we have to remember that Formula One has to fight against the other teams, the other sports as well. And as you're going to get Formula One starting, then you'll have basketball, football starting again, you know, maybe obviously just with limited fans, if any at all. I just think that it's really important, you know, as the teams have actually been using this break to be able to keep on hitting home, that Formula One has to get more competitive for all the teams, for there be a reason for the millionaires who are backing these teams to be able to keep on backing these teams. You know, so I think, you know, them trying all these different things now in this unique space that we're in now is so important.
Yeah, and I feel like, actually, as you said, F1 has to compete with other sports, but realistically, if we think about it, if you were a fan that's watched F1 once or twice, you know a little bit about it, like quite a lot of our audience, like what is more enticing to watch a race than, as Matt says, Eau Rouge backwards? Like, you'd be like, holy crap, I need to watch this race. This is going to be mad. So, like, it's going to be important. And also, I can't remember who said it. Someone said it recently. I think it may have been Zach Brown that said this is a really important time that F1 should use to experiment, right?
Yeah.
So there's been talk, even last season, there was talk about different race formats and all that kind of stuff when it was we were discussing 2020 regs. So there's a lot of things that have always been talked about and always been speculated. And actually, this could be the perfect opportunity for F1 to do that. Like we talked about how the F2 format and the F3 format, sorry, where you start at the back. You're like, if you qualify first, you can start at the back. Like, why can't we do that? What, like, imagine seeing Lewis Hamilton and Seb Vettel go through every single car on the track. That's going to be a race of racing, right?
Because that's what you tune in for primarily overtaking. And what we don't want is the actual sport to, because you will lose people. And you know, even the sport kind of lost me for a couple of years or so, where it just became like a procession. So what you don't want is
stagnated.
Yeah, you don't want, like, you know, salute to Lewis so forth, but you don't want it to be, you know, like the Scottish Football League where there's Rangers or Celtic winning all the time, and or, you know, the same three or four teams. So what we want is for there to be a reason for the teams to actually continue and actually you know want to be able to put more money in to make it to continue to be the amount of teams that we've got, if not more.
And actually, to be fair, you could find that a shorter season goes in favor of other drivers. Like, you could find Max come out on top. Like, if you imagine Max racing two races in a weekend versus Lewis racing two races in a weekend, I think Max would be up for it. Because while Max is racing on a Sunday, he's also doing iRacing. Matt, I know you've watched some of it. Like, he's doing iRacing in the week, and so is Lando. Yeah. So you've got people like Lando and Max that are already doing 3 or 4 races a week and full races.
I've lost track. I've literally lost track of who's running what races. It's too many.
There's so many. But you could see Max and Lando come out on top on a double race weekend because they're used to doing 2 race distances in a week. Do you know what I mean? Yes, sim racing is different because you don't have the physical aspect. You don't have the G-force or anything like that. But, you know, the concentration levels it takes to do 2 races in a weekend is quite intense and they're used to it. So you never know.
So there's been, unfortunately, some more team furloughs from Renault, McLaren and Haas. Obviously, you know, these things are never a pleasant time. But, I mean, hopefully they're making the wisest decisions so they can actually continue and these guys will actually get their jobs back, you know, as the government is helping everyone. What was your guys' view on you know, obviously these, especially your Renault as well, is a huge entity, you know, making these cutbacks?
I have nothing good to say because obviously it's a serious thing. But I'd leave it to the expert Sam that has a better understanding of the, you know, impact within the teams.
I think it's the right decision. And the reason I say that is because these Formula One teams are well-oiled machines, right? Mm. They function like... We've already seen it with Mercedes turning their factory into a ventilator with Tim Patrick within 10 days, right? They are so precise. They are so well-rehearsed. They turn things around so quickly. And when it comes to those sort of things, if you have an entire team, right? Mm. If you made your entire team redundant to save money and then brought in a whole new team, that's not going to work because you already had a very set way that the team was being run. And if you change that by making people redundant and bring in new employees, it's never going to run as efficiently. So actually, from a team perspective, A, to keep their teams happy, i.e. keep their staff employed, keep them getting paid, that's the right thing to do. You know, otherwise, they could just say, look, guys, we can't afford it. We're going to have to make you redundant. And then none of them get any money, right? So to furlough them and make sure they get the government scheme. But secondly, actually, all they've effectively done is paused.
Mm.
So what they aren't doing is replacing their well-oiled machine with a less oiled machine. Because what we could see if they did that is the 2020 season be a bit rubbish. Because we could see slower pit stops because they've not had the new guys haven't had enough time to rehearse. Like, if you imagine Red Bull's pit crew that are smashing records every weekend with like 2.7 second stops, right?
You can't replace one member of that crew.
Right. At all. You can't even replace the first wheel.
You know, we're happy to be able to jump in. You know, Matt and I had a a little bit of experience last year at Silverstone, I think we did quite well. I personally think. Matt won't agree at all.
We tried to find the footage of that. Literally put my stuff on mute because I was using a fan because it was roasting hot. I started responding and I was like, they can't hear me. Finally, you're at peace. No,
it's a sunny day where he is, that's why.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's beautiful in Canada right here. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Hopefully, I think that's the number one thing that, you know, I'm really looking for, you know, hoping that we can get the races back in some way or another. Or at least if we can't get in as punters, as media, to try and keep, you know, keep things moving on the ground. Because I need to have my go at rivaling Andre's pit times and seeing if I can get on the Red Bull.
That is true. That is true. You know what? I was on form. I was on form. I became one with the machine. Very good. Just had my role. Was shouted at by a few members of the general public to tell me exactly what to do, and I did it out of fear because we jumped the line. That's pretty much what I did. No, it's brilliant, brilliant. I mean, to be honest, look, as I said before, like, you know, and we know that there's before the quarantine police comes out, we know that there's more important things going on in the world, but it's our job to be able to, you know, lighten the mood, and actually, you know, there are people that need sports because they're probably in the house on their own, or you know, just from a social and mental point of view, they actually want something to be able to entertain them while we are waiting. But obviously, we have to do this safely and make sure that we do this in the right way. That being said, we had some races last week. We had a race last week, and my boy Charles Leclerc won the Vietnam e-race.
Hell yeah! I mean, you know what's really good about this time? We had another really, really mad mix of characters taking part. The biggest surprise is Liam Payne didn't return. I was kind of fully expecting that to, you know.
I'm just like
in one direction.
Right, shout out to Liam Payne. Shout out to Liam Payne and his music. And I tell you what, he's got a voice of an angel, but I tell you what, he can't drive.
You can't race.
Can't drive.
End up.
Same for Ben Stokes. He's a world beater, but not quite the F1 driver.
He was practicing. So. Like I saw some footage of him practicing. Like, and he had the whole get up, the whole thing.
Right. But I can tell you now, he can hit balls, not apexes.
Exactly. Here's the thing: at the day, we can't confuse training. It's like, yeah, we can all lift weights, we can hit the gym. But there's a lot of fights we're not going to win, so we can't kid ourselves here. You know, it's good that people showed up and had a good go. But you know what I think? What was really good this time round was we actually got a lot more races joining in. As promised, Alex Albon rejoined after speaking to Lando about this. Charles Leclerc was a part of it. Was Giovinazzi a part of it last week? I can't remember if he was.
No, he wasn't.
No, so so here we go. So we had more races taking part. And yeah, Charles won. Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, I actually think...
Go on, Sam.
I was just going to say, as Matt said, that we had more races in it, and actually, it felt way more like a race this weekend than the Bahrain one did. Because the Bahrain one was, you know, it's first one off the bat. There was so much crashing going on, John Herbert flinging off at the front and start. But I feel like it felt there was some really intense overtakes. Like, you know, there was some
real battles. Van Dorn,
real battles. That was really good.
Jensen Button was battling in there.
I did. I think he need give him a couple more weeks. I think Jensen's going to come in and fight for that podium. You know,
there was a move that Charles Leclerc did on Alex Albon and his brother, and basically just went around both of them. Those two were fighting, battling it out, and he literally just went past him. Like, and that there was like,
yeah.
I forgot for a second it was virtual. I was just like, yeah,
it's great. It feels so real. But Jensen would be good money would be good value. He won the charity race, I believe, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And won 10 grand for his chosen charity. So
this
is some serious players coming through. But this is a great thing. It's like age doesn't discriminate in here. You just got to be good at playing, you know, games, consoles are for all ages. So if you are good at that, then you are good to go.
So
Matt says, you can tell your parents they can shut their mouth.
Exactly. There's money in it. That's going to be our first merch. Tell your parents.
Shut your mouth.
So, another bit of entertainment news on that was when Charles Leclerc couldn't actually turn off his Twitch screen.
I love the bit right at the end, right? You're talking about a driver that drives a multi-million pound car, right? He's got all of these switches in front of him on his steering wheel on an actual race weekend, yet the poor kid couldn't switch off his Twitch screen. I love him. I think he's great, and I just think it was hilarious. Mid into, he's like, I don't know how to turn it off. Like,
where he was like, oh, you guys are still here.
I was like, I'm pressing the button, but it's not here. but yeah, to be fair, actually, another shout out to Charles. We've talked about him a lot, definitely. That he was part of the Race for the World event that started yesterday, and there's another one tonight, and there's another one on Tuesday, I believe, which is the charity race series that the drivers have kind of put together for basically to raise money for COVID-19. And I think last night, which was Saturday, they raised £33,000 in one race. And wow. It went a bit wrong. There was a couple of ghosts racing the track. But again, this one has Alex Albon, George Russell, Lando, Charles.
Well, hopefully Lando can actually switch to get in the race this time. This is 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Fix his...
We do love a bit of Lando AI, though, don't we?
True champ.
Cybernet's coming through for Lando.
On less entertaining news, because I don't find this guy entertaining in any formal way, Valtteri Bottas is making porridge.
It's my dad.
Hey, listen. you do look like a black-haired version of Valtteri.
round.
Less Gandhi. I think Valtteri's hilarious. I mean, to be fair, I do wish he'd got involved in any racing, if I'm quite frank. But he made his power porridge for everyone, and everyone who loves Valtteri knows that he loves his porridge.
I'm literally just live watching this as you speak, because I haven't seen this. And I'm amazed that this is a almost 4 minute tutorial.
This is why. This is where we've got to, people. We've got to the point of a Formula One bloody driver is making porridge, and then that's entertaining. Like, I know I'm a fiend for sports, but I'm glad that I've not gone to that level of like,
that's true.
Need it
so,
now.
So what's he putting in there? So is that
some raspberries, some blueberries,
chia seeds?
Right. It's called power porridge, Matt. It's got to have some power in it.
Almond,
fruit and fiber,
maple syrup. Something creamy.
It's been, you know what? It's been a weird week for Mercedes on social, because it's either you've had this boring, you know, this boring video of Valtteri making porridge, or you've had Lewis shaking his hair and smiling at the camera. So it's
bro, I tell you what, his hair looks so good though. Let's be honest, mate. When that stallion looks so good.
This is what it's come to,
because Lewis, like, his natural hair looks sick, and I think that video was so cool. Anyway, move on. I'm just a little fanboy right now.
I know.
It's mainly because I need a haircut right now, and this guy's throwing his mane around.
Who's the worst at the moment? Let's just see how you two, because I have no hair.
It's growing out the sides.
You are becoming Eddie Monster. A little bit, and
I might shave it all off.
Matt's doing the side sweep to hide
hide the loss of hair, and you know, show the growth of forehead. That's what life is.
He's still got a headphone print, headset print on his head from
Dre's just sculled his hair. He's just like hiding whatever.
I wish there was something entertaining I could actually do with my hair. It's just literally just shave it. So I'm just growing it.
Why don't you just grow it out, and then you can like shave a Nike tick in the back of it? And then
we'll go full E17.
Body do racing stripes down the side.
Like, fucking just doing my eyebrows. That's what I should do. Just like that. Next week I'll be divorced.
He'll be divorced and without F1.
So I missed this one, but Lewis Hamilton received a video from the NHS.
So yeah, mate, this was the cutest thing ever, and I genuinely think it's so wicked. So a nurse in I don't know which hospital it was, but she's a massive Lewis fan. Obviously, Lewis's two major slogans are never give up and still arise. And so basically she has written never give up on her face mask, because with a face mask on, she can't talk properly to her patients. So she's basically done a video like shouting out Lewis, saying like, thank you so much for the inspiration, the motivation in times like this is so important. And Lewis, literally, bless him, came back with a really, really heartfelt message, being like, "I'm so proud of everything the NHS have done." No. Like, it was his post was, "I'm so in awe of you. You guys are the real heroes. Thank you to everyone on the front line." And it's like, someone like Lewis, who we know has got a massive social following, and it's, you know, he's got a little bit of a responsibility to the people that follow him, and to give a shout out like that is pretty special. So
it's good. It's good of him to recognise him, and then as we say every week, literally these guys, and not just especially the nurses and doctors from the NHS are doing, risking their lives every day, their own safety to look after us and make sure that we get through this as well as possible. And you know, we do our jobs by just following the rules. Please, people, stop going out unnecessarily. Please, guys, can you actually literally stop going to the beach or go into the park unnecessarily? Because I think the last week it was like Brockwell Park was locked off because of 3,000 people decided they wanted to sunbathe on that particular day. So I used to stay inside because the quicker that, just look at it from this way, the quicker you guys do what they tell you to do, the quicker we all can get back out there and live a normal life. And this
also, the quicker everyone does what the government asks them to do, the quicker we'll get F1 back.
Exactly.
I feel that's what we're missing. That's what we're missing is our politicians, this is it. Welcome to the alt politics show. Yeah, exactly. We've got the most boring bunch of vanilla politicians that don't even support teams. Back in the day, David Cameron got West Ham and Aston Villa confused. These guys just say they have sports teams just for the sake of it. And if they actually were legitimate sport fans, they would be locking everything down.
Oh, God, they'd be tanks.
Shutting. London Underground would be shut down. I'd put one army tank every public park, so people stay the hell away, and then Andre can see his Liverpool win the title with hopefully fans, and then Sam.
Oh, they're all going to come out now.
Sam in 2025 will save up enough money to go to Canada again, so it'd be perfect.
we all want on this. Obviously, we understand that life is going on around us, and we're no different. But it's just, it was frustrating for people that are following the rules, as much as possible. No one wants to be stuck, especially if you're a parent and if they're being honest, no one wants to be stuck 24 hours or 3 weeks almost now with their children. You love your children very much, but there comes a point where you just need a 5 minutes out. So you start looking around the house for places that they're not.
No, but Dre's kids are having 4 naps a day just because.
Yeah. Dre's having barbecues.
That is true, actually. Barbecue game. I think definitely we were going to do something, a barbecue off between all of us, or some type of cook off.
My barbecue skills, Dre. Listen, I appreciate you and I love you, big man, but my barbecue skills will beat you.
Oh my God. Well, I'm really good at eating stuff, so let's test this out.
we'll show you what it's like.
Here you go, mate.
we're going to have to do that. But guys, please, do what the authorities are asking us to do. There's a reason why. And then obviously these NHS workers are actually risking their lives for us. So please, for them, stay home and find something to do within the boundaries of your property. And do the once an hour? Because I didn't even get to do that. 1 hour a day exercise?
Of exercise, yeah.
And that's it. Don't use that as a time to go to go.
I haven't even done an hour in a week, so this is really bad.
and it doesn't mean that people can bank that out. I haven't stayed in for the last 3 weeks, so therefore I've got 3 hours. It doesn't work that way, please, honestly. Until next week, we've got some really, really exciting things we're planning. Some really, really good content we're planning. We're going to do at some point very soon. We're going to be doing a preview to the whole world of the W Series, and we're going to be going through all the drivers, the people that you might want to root for, all of these types of things. And I think it's really good for us to be able to have a spotlight on these guys. And then obviously we will look at more of the lifestyle angle of Formula One, because obviously we can't keep on talking about every week the same thing of
Rona.
Honestly, it will just get depressing, so there's so much content that we can actually put together for you. We will start looking at doing that for you, but thank you guys for each week you know, supporting us, and we've been getting really good views on YouTube and on Spotify and Deezer and iTunes podcast as well. So yeah, I do really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. And please, for our, all of our written content, check out www.vergemagazine.co.uk. And we will just keep on going for you guys. Look, see the bags under our eyes. We're working hard for you guys. But until next week, peace.
Wash your hands.
Yes, guys.
And wash your hands, please. Please. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. That's going to be like a new thing, then. Peace.
Cheers, guys.